was grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Now I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know.
good morning, Ascend Church. Hallelujah. It's Sunday, fun day, where we worship the one true God who is holy and worthy of all praise. If you know it, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We've come to sing praise to our King and give you all our glory. Get a little loud in here. Hope you're ready. My shame is gone. won't be shackled to the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone, gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. Oh, it's done, done, done. He is risen, it is done, and I sing hallelujah. Oh, whoa, whoa. Will overcome. Shout if you know it. Oh, I'm gonna shine like the battle's won. Oh, fall back, devil, 'cause your time is up. Oh, I'm gonna live like the stone is gone, gone.
Sing it with me. Christmas, we're thinking of the birth of Jesus, and we think of him in his human form. But the Bible says that there's no name that is more powerful than the name of Jesus. It's the name at which every knee bows and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Every name has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. And welcome to those that are watching online. This is a time in our service where we have the opportunity to pray over you, a time of prayer. We have a prayer team right here that are full of faith. They believe God. They believe in the power of the name of Jesus. You know, the apostles in the book of Acts said, I don't come to you with preaching with man's wisdom, just with words of wisdom, but I come in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There are signs and wonders that accompany the word of God. And family, if we don't reach out and tap into them, we miss out. And so whatever your need is today, whether you're watching online, whether you're here in the building, if it's a financial need, if it's a physical healing that you need, if it's a relationship issue, everything comes under the authority, can come under the name of Jesus. He changes things. Prayer changes things, right? And so we're going to pray right now. But the way we do it is we're going to sing one more worship song. That was beautiful. We were just singing the Word of God. And as you sing the Word of God, so faith rises in your heart. And you begin to remember what it is that He's done, right? We go through our weeks and we're thinking of all kinds of things. But when we focus like we're doing on worshiping God, we focus on what the Word says about Him. Amen. So right now, as we begin to sing this last worship song, if you're not coming forward for prayer, just close your eyes, forget about someone around you, and worship with us. Just focus on the Lord. For those of you who need prayer, slip out of your seats and come to the front. Our prayer team will pray a prayer of faith over you. And I'm going to pray right now over those that are watching. Father, I thank you that there's no distance in prayer. We believe in the power of the name of Jesus to change any circumstance, to heal anybody, to deliver anyone from any addiction, every addiction, in the name of Jesus. So I just release the power of God right now into those homes, to wherever people are watching, into those families, into those bodies. I just speak in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance and freedom and bondages broken and chains coming off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing our last song and just come forward if you need prayer this morning.
Jesus.
Oh, so powerful.
just stirred me up. I don't know about you. I love the sound of that. You know, the Bible says that, first of all, it says prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And let me tell you, praise makes tremendous power available as well. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Thank you. God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to online viewers from around the world. We have people watch us from all different countries of the world. I love technology. To our Ascend Church members, we that are not in church today, we miss you. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And I want to welcome our first-time guests. If we have first-time guests in church today, we always like to honor you, recognize you, give you a small gift. So if you are here for the first time today, would you mind just waving your hand where you are that we could welcome you? God bless you. Come on, anyone else? Come on. That's great. Thank you. Just keep your hand up for a minute till one of our snappy ushers gets to you. There he is. Come on. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Thank you for joining us today. We pray. You know, I don't believe that anyone is here by accident. Haven't you found that sometimes you go, you think you're making some choices and decisions, and you look back and you're like, God was directing me all the time, right? The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord, ordered by the Lord. So welcome today. We're glad that you're with us. And I just want to tell you that there are four different platforms on which you can watch us. First one being our website, ascendchurch.us. Very easy to watch, our mobile app. And for your information, on the back, if you look at the seat back in front of you, there's a barcode. And it's very easy for you. Just hover your camera over that barcode, and it'll lead you to a link directly into our mobile app, which to me is the best way to view anything, to watch past messages, to read the blog. There's so much on there, and all of it is shareable. Then you can watch on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. You know, we've had times where, say, Facebook Live's been overloaded and there's an issue. There's always YouTube, Ascend Church. You can go there. And then Facebook Live is where majority of people watch. And the amazing thing is that, you know, we have so many people sitting in church today, but we have far more watching online. It's just the way things are today and this year. And so go ahead and share that. If you are on Facebook Live, share it. It reaches. It's the word that I keep hearing in my spirit is the word reach. For us as a church, to expand our reach. And that's one of the ways we do it is by sharing what it is that we're watching, that we're listening to. For those watching, comment where you're watching from. Send us your prayer request. Thank you to those giving online. We've had a lot of people give online through this week, and it's such a blessing to our church, so thank you for doing that. And as you're watching, there's a link on Facebook Live to give. There's you can go straight into our ascendchurch.us, the website, and there's a link to give. So thank you for doing that. To mention that we have a Spanish translation available in church. If you want a Spanish translation, just wave your hand and usher will give you instructions. And then you can also watch those on YouTube and on our website. You can watch the message in Spanish. Pastor Steve is very fluent, right? Right? Is it you preaching it? No, it's him being translated. So just to remind you what our four main purposes of our church. First of all, that you would know God better than you do now. That you would find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference with your life. Amen? That's the main purposes. And to a visitor, if you just, when the offering bucket comes by at the end, drop that guest card in. It gives us a chance to just give you a call. So thank you for doing that. And praise God for that beautiful photo op set up in the lobby. I hope you're ready for some good Christmas pics. Some people have had them done. Dolores and Andrea are going to be taking pictures out there, and they take great, great pictures. So go ahead and avail yourself of that. That's going to be amazing. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Wonderful. It's good to see you. I want to thank everybody who came out here Wednesday night. We had a really great time on Wednesday night. We had a good turnout as well. We had some new people, and I preached three sermons on Wednesday night. I preached three 30-minute sermons. I preached always be thankful, get over it, and speak life. And I think I'm going to do that maybe once every other month, do a Wednesday and do three messages like that. And we filmed them. It turned out great. In fact, this morning's TV show on Fox 29 was what we filmed on Wednesday night. So, and it looked great. So a lot of people told me they watched it. So thanks for coming. Really, praise the Lord. I want to encourage all those who are sitting at the back. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beseech you. Do you know what beseech means? It's a Bible word. Have you ever heard the word beseech? It means I'm asking you earnestly to please sit in the front section. And there's a reason, because we are filming the service. It'll be on television, and we want to try and have as many people in one section as we can, because all those sitting behind the camera, we don't see you. But if you come forward here, we get you in the shot. And so thank you so much. We want our church to look as good as it can on television, don't you think? We want to look the best that we can. That's why I ask you to sit in the front, the first six rows before we fill the end. Now, the day's going to come very soon where it really won't matter where you sit, because if you don't get here early, you won't get a seat anyway. The day's coming. Say, the day's coming when if I don't get to church early, I'm going to struggle to find a seat. Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then also, Pastor Jill, did you mention everything that's happening through Christmas season, December? Did you mention all the stuff that we're doing? You can do that later on. All right. Well, are you ready for God's word today? Say, I'm ready. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our life. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help me, you enable me today. Lord, I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in you today. I thank you that you speak through me today. I thank you that you anoint your word. I thank you, Lord, that chains are broken. I thank you, Lord, that faith rises big in our heart. I thank you, Lord, we walk out of here with a greater faith than we ever had before in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I am the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida. I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come and visit us. We have people come from Vero Beach. We have people come from Lake Worth. We have people drive from all over. They say a church alive is worth the drive. We hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Promise you, we'll make you feel real welcome. Now, today, I want to speak about the power of your faith. Tell your neighbor, the power of your faith. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, anything is possible if you have faith. Say, anything is possible if I have faith. Now, Jesus was talking about having faith in him. He was talking about having faith in God. He was talking about having faith in God's word. There's power in your faith. You know, God created this entire universe by the power of his faith. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. God created this universe out of that which you cannot see. It's called faith. He spoke it. He said, light be, and light was. If you read on in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 is really known as the Heroes of Faith Hall of Fame. because it talks about all the amazing things that people did by the power of their faith. And I'm going to read you a couple of verses. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'll read a few verses here. Hebrews 11, verse 29 from the Passion Bible. It says, faith opened the way for the Hebrews to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to cross, they were swallowed up and drowned. Faith pulled down Jericho's walls after the people marched around them for 7 days. Faith provided a way of escape for Rahab the prostitute, avoiding the destruction of the unbelievers because she received the Hebrew spies in peace. It says, and what more could I say to convince you? For there's not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms. They established justice. Their faith, I love this, their faith fastened onto the promises and pulled them into the realm of reality. Do you know that your faith is what brings the promises of God into the realm of this of reality? It was faith that shut the mouth of the lions. It was faith that put out the power of the raging fire and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. In their weakness, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle array. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Do you see there is power in your faith? Faith is what pulls those promises of God and brings them into the realm of reality. We see the power of faith in Mark chapter 5. There was a lady who had a bleeding disorder for 12 years. And the Bible says she'd gone to many doctors. She'd spent all of her money. She tried everything she could to try and get well, but nothing helped. She just kept on getting worse. And then one day she heard about Jesus. That Jesus was healing people. That Jesus was doing miracles. She heard stories about Jesus, how he healed a crippled man. How he opened blind eyes. How he cured somebody who had leprosy. And then she heard Jesus is passing through her town. And something came alive on the inside. She thought, if he did it for others, he can do it for me. Let me tell you, she could have been discouraged and complaining. Life is not fair. Why did this happen to me? But instead, the Bible says she said to herself in Mark 5, verse 28, she said, if I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If I just touch his garment, his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, the problem was there was a great crowd of people surrounding Jesus, thousands of people. It seemed impossible to try and get to him. Most people would have probably given up and thought, well, you know, maybe it's just not meant to be. But not this lady. Let me tell you, she started making her way through that crowd. Excuse me, I need to get by. Pardon me, I've got to get up front. I don't want to be rude, but move out of my way. I've got to get to Jesus. Someone said, man, what's this lady's problem? She was on a mission. She had a made-up mind. I'm sure she was weak. She'd lost blood for 12 years. She didn't feel like it, but she fought her way through that crowd. And the Bible says in verse 28, she kept on saying, if only I can touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. That's the Passion Bible. She kept on saying it. In other words, she didn't just say this one time. She said it over and over and over, told over and over, I can just touch his clothes. I know I will be made well. She was saying, I know healing's coming. I know things are turning in my favor. It's tough now. I'm tired. I'm weak, but I know I'm close to my breakthrough. See, the reason that she could keep going is because she kept the right thoughts playing in her mind, and she had the right words coming out of her mouth. I imagine she must have felt exhausted, right? And she probably had to crawl the last few feet, you know, to Jesus. But just at the right time, she reached out and she touched the edge of Jesus' robe. And the Bible says in verse 29, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. She could feel her body was instantly being healed of her disease. And Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He felt the power go out of him, and he turned and he spoke to the crowd. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd, man. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd. He was looking for the one who had touched him for healing. And when the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before Jesus. She was trembling with fear. She threw herself down at his feet. She said, "I'm the one who touched you." And she told him the story of what had just happened. And the Bible says Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you." Who did Jesus say? What healed her? Her faith is what caused the healing power of God to flow into her body. It was her faith, Jesus said, that healed her. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. Now, I want you to see that. Notice that the key was your faith. It's great that her parents may have been praying for her. Maybe her friends were encouraging her, her neighbors cheering her on. That's all good. But let me tell you, there is nothing more powerful than your faith. I said there's nothing more powerful than your faith. When you dare to believe, when you expect things to change, when you keep saying to yourself, "I know my breakthrough's coming, I know my healing's on the way, I know the right person is in my future, I know what God started, he's going to finish, I know my God will supply all of my needs." Let me tell you, your faith can stop the creator of the universe in his tracks. That's what activates God's power in your life, family, is your faith. There's many examples of this in Jesus' ministry. You know, there were other people in the crowd that day when that woman touched Jesus' garment. There were other people who were sick, right? There were many other people that had needs. No doubt they bumped into Jesus, but nothing happened. But this lady touched Jesus. You see, are you brushing up against him or are you touching the Lord? Are you living with expectancy, knowing that he is bigger than these problems? He's greater than this sickness. He's more powerful than any opposition. Or have you become discouraged, thinking it's never going to change? Let me tell you, God is passing by today. Jesus is walking by today. He has all power. Don't just brush up against him. Don't be passive and think you could never accomplish your dream. You could never meet the right person. You could never be made well and whole. You could never start your own business. No, do like this lady. Reach out and touch him. Release your faith. Believe it will happen. Dare to believe. This lady was closest to her miracle when she faced her greatest opposition. You know, it would have been easy if Jesus would have come with just a few disciples. She could have easily gone out and touched him without the struggle, without all the people in her way, but she had to fight through the crowd. See, the crowd represents opposition. The crowd represents broken dreams, things that didn't work out, thoughts that are telling you it's never going to get better, you're never going to get well, you're never going to break that addiction. Let me tell you, the crowd can be negative words, words that people have spoken over us. You're not that talented. You're never going to be able to, you'll never accomplish that dream. Let me tell you, if you're going to reach your potential, you've got to fight through some things. You can't have a weak, give up, too hard spirit. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Do you know there's a fight to faith? You got to be more determined than what is trying to stop you. Can you say amen, somebody? You may get knocked down, but you got to get back up again. You got to have a made up mind. This disappointment is not going to stop me. I'm not going to let the mistakes that I've made, the guilt, the regret to cause me to shrink back. I'm not going to allow the bad breaks and the people that did me wrong and the rejection and the betrayal cause me to get bitter and stay where I am. I'm going to fight through the crowd. I'm going to fight through the opposition. I'm going to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to keep on standing in faith and trusting God. Amen. You know, many of the miracles that Jesus performed, he laid his hands on people and they were healed. But in this case, Jesus didn't lay his hands on the woman. The woman laid hands on Jesus. Isn't that right? Are you waiting for God to lay hands on you, so to speak? You know, God, this problem is so big. When are you going to do it? Lord, when are you going to do something about it? Why didn't you lay hands on him? Instead of complaining about the problem, use your faith. The power of your faith. Lord, I want to thank you that things are turning in my favor, that no weapon formed against me will prosper, that you hold victory in store for the upright. I don't see a way. Lord, I want to thank you that you have a way, that you're making a way. Amen. Amen. See, when you do that, you're laying hands on God. Your faith can initiate the healing. Your faith can be the catalyst for God to do amazing things in your life. In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul was teaching people, and he noticed a crippled man in the crowd. He'd been that way since birth. He'd never walked in his life. And the Bible says in Acts 14, verse 9, he listened carefully to Paul as he preached. And all of a sudden, Paul discerned this man had faith in his heart to be healed. Paul realized this man's got faith to be healed. This man was just sitting out in the audience listening to Paul. But how does faith come? The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of faith preached. Romans 10 verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You see, the word of God has got to be in your heart and it's got to be coming out your mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach. Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see, today, as you're listening to me preach the word of God to you, your faith is being increased. Faith is coming to you. Paul preached the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of faith preached. Let me tell you, if you go to a church that preaches that miracles don't happen anymore, then you're not hearing the word of faith, and you're not going to have strong faith. If you go to church, tells you that, you know, healing passed away and this passed away and God doesn't want to prosper you and God wants you poor, you're not going to have strong faith. This man in Acts 14, he was listening to Paul preach the word of faith. He must have had such an anticipation on his face. Paul must have seen something in his expression, an expectancy that something good was going to happen, like a little child at a candy store. Paul was so impressed, he stopped his preaching, and in verse 10, he shouted, "You, in the name of our Lord Jesus, stand up on your feet." The man instantly jumped up to his feet, stood for the first time in his life, and walked. Let me tell you, like that man, we should have this anticipation that something good is going to happen. Yeah, we've all had difficulties. We've all faced challenges this year. But let me tell you, don't let that talk you out of what God has in store. You wouldn't be alive if there wasn't something amazing in your future. But here's the question. Can your faith be seen? Because Paul saw this man. He's something in him. Paul realized he had faith. Can your faith be seen? Can anyone notice that you're expecting to go to another level in your life? Amen. Are you believing like it's going to happen, thinking like it's going to happen, talking like it's going to happen, acting like it's going to happen? Because let me tell you, God is passing by. But if you're negative, oh, I don't see how this is ever going to work out. Oh, I just never seem to get any good breaks. It's been this way for such a long time. Listen, you may brush up against him, but you're not going to touch him. You've got to show God that you're ready to be healed, that you're ready to be free, that you're ready to be blessed. There should be an expectancy. It could happen today. You could meet the person of your dreams this week. You could see your health turn around this month. This year could be your year to go to a new level, where things fall into place, good breaks find you, promises you've been believing for, suddenly they come to pass. Well, Steve, you know, what if I believe for it and it doesn't happen? Well, what if you believe for it and it does? When you live with an expectancy where your faith can be seen in your expression, in your attitude, in how you talk, let me tell you, it's going to cause God to notice you in a new way. See, God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. The Bible says he has us in the palm of his hand. But faith is what gets his attention. Faith gets his attention. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. The only way that you can please God is by faith. Now, that's a powerful statement. That means you can be obedient, but if you have a negative attitude and a limited vision and yet not please God, you can give, serve, feed the poor, do all these good things. It's all important. We should do that. But if you're not believing for things that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own, if you're not expecting those difficulties to turn around, if you're not anticipating new levels or believing and thanking God that He's bringing promises to pass, then you're not releasing your faith. And you can't, the Bible says you can't receive anything from God without faith. Do you know you can't receive anything from the Lord without faith? That's the only way to receive from God. James 1 verse 6 says, only it must be in faith that he asks with no doubting, for the one who wavers or the one who doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. The Bible says that if we do not ask God and come to God with faith, we should not expect to receive anything that we ask for, because God is pleased by faith, and faith is what receives. That's what moves God's hand, is faith. That's why the Israelites, the children of Israel, they didn't make it into the promised land initially, because the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, it says this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us, has been given to us, just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses, but it didn't do them any good. Why? Why didn't it do them any good? Because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. Do you know that God's word doesn't do you any good unless you mix it with faith? Do you know that I can stand all day and preach to you and tell you what the Word of God says, that God wants you healed and Jesus took your sickness and God wants to meet your financial needs? I can tell you all those things, and it won't do you any good until you mix your faith with it, until you believe what God's Word says. You got to believe, and you got to say what you believe. Because let me tell you, he is passing by. Don't just sit back and watch. Yo, Pastor Steve, I wish I could break this addiction. I wish I could accomplish my dreams. I wish I could be healed. My grandson Brady and I, he's seven. We were watching a Christmas movie the other day, Christmas Chronicles. And anyway, it was talking about when you wish, things happen. When you wish, I said, Brady, things don't happen by wishing. You know how they happen? By praying. I wish I could be healed. Well, why don't you reach out and touch him? Lord, I want to thank you. You're opening doors nobody can shut. I want to thank you. You're taking me where I cannot go on my own. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are healing and restoring my health. I want to thank you for setting me free from this addiction. I want to thank you, Lord, the right person is on the way. Abundance is on the way. That's how you touch God today, family, with your faith. Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm just waiting for God to do something. I'm just waiting for God to do something. Hey, listen, God, maybe God's waiting on you. Because the lady in Mark chapter 5, she didn't wait for Jesus to come to her house and lay hands on her. She went and pressed through the crowd and laid hands on Jesus. And I realize that God has a perfect time. But the scripture says in Hebrews 1 verse 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says now faith is. Do you know that faith is always in the present? Faith is always now. I don't say I believe God's going to do this one day. I say I believe God's doing it right now. That's faith. And things may not, you know, instantly change. We all have waiting periods, but our faith should stay active. Our normal attitude should be, Lord, I'm looking for your goodness, not next week, not next month, not next year. I'm looking and expecting your goodness today. Stay in the now. Live with the anticipation. It could happen today. Amen. When we lost our, you know, a few years ago, we lost a previous building, a church building. And I, every day I did what I'm asking you to do. Every day I got up. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for making a way even where I don't see a way. I want to thank you for taking what the enemy meant for our harm and turning it to advantage. I want to thank you for giving us a better building in a better location with half the previous mortgage payment. I want to thank you for making things happen, Lord, that I could never make happen by myself. I didn't see any sign of it for months and months. But each day I went out with this expectancy, looking for God's goodness, knowing it could happen any moment. And this went on month after month. No sign of it. Here's the question. How badly do you want it? The lady in the scripture waited 12 years. She wanted it so badly that she fought through the crowd, even though every voice was telling her, you should just stay home. It's too much trouble. There's going to be so many people. You're never going to get to Jesus. I mean, there was so much opposition against her, but her attitude was, I've come too far to stop now. I may be tired. I may be uncomfortable, but I'm going to get to Jesus, man. When God sees you doing what you can, believing when there's no sign of it, thanking and praising him even when you feel weak, taking steps of faith even when you're uncomfortable. Let me tell you, God will give you strength that goes beyond your natural ability. He'll help you to do what you couldn't do on your own. I just kept believing, day after day, thanking God. And suddenly I got the call from the owner of this building. He saw a television commercial with me and Joel Osteen. He offered to sell us this building. He said, you don't need a bank. I'm going to finance it. He just wanted us to pay 5% the interest only, no capital, no down payment. I mean, I was so grateful. I was so amazed. Amen. And you know, God supernaturally provided for us the money to be able to close and do all the renovations on this building. I mean, it's been a miracle in motion. God took what was meant for our harm and he turned it for our good. We ended up coming out with a better building in a better location at half, less than half, our previous mortgage payment. Thank God. You see, that's the way God is. When you stay in faith, when you consistently thank him, even when there's no sign of it, you will come into these suddenlies where God not only surprises you, you didn't see it coming, but it exceeds your expectations. Amen. Amos, I love Amos 9, verse 13, man. It says, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. Let me tell you, it's going to happen so fast. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Things are going to happen fast. Maybe you've been praying, believing, expecting for a long time. Listen, I want to encourage you. It's on the way. You're closer than you think. It's going to happen sooner than it looks. There may be no sign of things improving. Maybe everything looks the same, but get ready because God is full of surprises. He doesn't always do things in a normal way where it just gradually gets better. He'll do them suddenly out of the ordinary. You didn't see it coming. It's because day after day, week after week, you kept touching him. You kept expecting it. You kept thanking him that it was on the way. You kept talking like it was going to happen. Your faith is going to make you whole. Amen. Your faith is going to break that addiction. Your faith is going to bring you out of debt. Your faith is going to help you accomplish your God-given dreams. Amen. When my wife Jill was a teenager, her mother took her to the doctor because she had creaking in her shoulders. Whenever she moved, it was like this creaking. And the doctor told her that she would be riddled with arthritis by the time she was in her 40s because her grandmother had it, her father had it. It was like hereditary. And when Jill was in her early 30s, just a few years ago, she started having some sharp pains in her joints. And she remembered what the doctor had told her. The enemy reminded her of what the doctor told her. And I'd been preaching about faith at church, and she decided that she was not going to accept this diagnosis. And she started using her faith. And she spoke to the arthritis. She commanded it to leave her body in the name of Jesus. Immediately, the pain went. And to this day, she's free from arthritis, never had a problem. What happened? Her faith made her whole. Just like that lady in Mark chapter 5. When God sees you releasing your faith, it gets his attention. That's what activates his power. The Bible says Jesus said, I felt the power went out of me. What activated the power? Her faith. Here's the question. Can God see your faith? Are you doing anything that says, I want to be well, I want to be free, I want to go to the next level in my life? Amen. Like this, I think you might have, did we miss one there, Natalie? No? Well, there's this man in the Bible, he was crippled, and he heard Jesus was in town, and that Jesus was preaching at somebody's house. And so this man got four friends to carry him on a stretcher, but when they got to the house, it was so crowded, so packed, they couldn't get in the house. So they went up on the roof, and they broke through the roof, and they lowered the man on his stretcher right through the roof down in front of Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, say, Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. The religious people got upset because Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven you. They said that was blasphemy. So Jesus said to them in verse 10, he said, to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your stretcher, and walk home. Immediately, the man sprang to his feet in front of everyone. He left for home, and when the crowds witnessed this miracle, they were awestruck. They shouted praises to God. They said, we've never seen anything like this before. Now, here's the question. Can God see your faith? There are so many examples of this in the Bible. Another example is Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar who would sit by the side of the road, you know, asking people for money. And Jesus was leaving Jericho. He was about to pass right in front of blind Bartimaeus. But when blind Bartimaeus heard Jesus was passing by, what did he do? The Bible says in Mark 10:47, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me now. Heal me, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Heal me. Well, technically, Jesus wasn't the son of David. He was the son of Joseph. Why did Bartimaeus call him the son of David? Because he recognized he was the Messiah. A few chapters earlier, the religious leaders didn't recognize Jesus was the Messiah. They thought he was a fraud. They were jealous. They were intimidated. It's interesting to me that this blind man, a man who didn't have physical sight, was one of the first ones to recognize who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah. And when he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, he was saying, Messiah, Savior, Deliverer, Most High God. And the Bible says Jesus stopped in his tracks. I imagine Jesus thinking, man, here's someone who knows who I am. He knows I'm all powerful. He's expecting my goodness. And what Bartimaeus was, when he started shouting, people around him told him to be quiet. They told him, don't cause a scene. You know, be quiet. Let me tell you, people will try and talk you out of your miracle. People will try and talk you out of your miracle. They'll tell you all the reasons why it can't happen. They'll tell you why you can't get well, why you can't break the addiction, why you will never meet the right person. I noticed that most of the people who received miracles from Jesus because of their faith, they had opposition to their faith. They had people and circumstances trying to discourage them. Are you with me? Like Jairus in Mark chapter 5. In Mark 5, verse 22, it says, one of the rulers of the synagogue came. His name was Jairus. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly. He said, my little daughter is lying at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. What did Jairus say? Jesus, if you come lay your hands on my daughter, she will be healed and she will live. Go back for me. And she will live. Amen. What did Jairus say? Come lay hands on me. And she will be healed and she will live. Jesus agreed. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. But then Jesus was stopped. By who? By the woman with the issue of blood. You with me? Jesus took time. This woman grabbed Jesus' garment. The power went out of him. He said, who touched me? that whole thing took some time. You understand? So the people came from Jairus' house and they said, don't bother Jesus anymore because your little daughter has died. How did Jesus respond? Did he say, oh, too bad. Sorry about that. It was this lady with the issue of blood. Delayed me. No, what happened? Mark 5:36. Jesus overheard them, but he ignored their comments. And he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Just stay in faith. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you, if you're going to stay in faith, you've got to learn to overhear but ignore. You cannot receive and take everything that people say. You've got to ignore some things. Are you with me? Jesus told them, just stay in faith. Just keep on believing. What happened? Jesus raised his little daughter from the dead. Raised her from the dead. How about the woman with the issue of blood? You talk about having opposition. According to Jewish law, she wasn't allowed to be in public. With a bleeding disorder, she wasn't supposed to be in public. She didn't let it stop her. Not only that, she was weak after years of blood loss. She didn't let that stop her faith. There were thousands of people surrounding Jesus. She didn't let that stop her faith. Amen. How about Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus? People tried to stop him. They told him, be quiet. Don't make a scene. But he didn't let anyone stop him from speaking his faith. How about the crippled man that was carried by his four friends I told you about? He couldn't get into the house to see Jesus. That didn't stop his faith. He got his friends to lower him down through the roof. People will try and talk you out your miracle because they don't know what God put in you. They can't hear what you can hear. Are you with me? Negative voices will try and discourage you. When you get quiet, you'll hear that still small voice down in your spirit telling you this addiction is not your destiny. You're better than this. Living in lack, that not able to get ahead, that's not your lot in life. Abundance is on the way. Being depressed with no passion, that's not who you are. Freedom is coming. Joy is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. Amen. God, let me tell you, God whispers down in your spirit dreams and promises of what you can become. The enemy will do his best to try and drown that out. No matter how loud those other voices are, don't let them talk you out of what God has whispered in your spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the secret petitions of your heart. Let me tell you, if you delight yourself in God, he will give you those secret petitions that nobody knows about. The dreams that God gave you at night. The promises you haven't told anybody about. Seems like it's so far out, it could never happen. That's God speaking to you. Because his dream for your life is bigger than your own dream. You know, people, many people saw blind Bartimaeus as being insignificant, unimportant. I mean, he's just a blind beggar. They told him, be quiet, shush. But Bartimaeus, man, he shouted even louder. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. He said, let him come to me. And the Bible says in Mark 10:50, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now, this is significant because scholars tell us that in those days when a person had a legitimate disability, they were given an official coat from the government, and this gave them the right to beg. The beggar's coat was very valuable because it's how they made their living. On the other hand, it labeled you as a beggar, just like we recognize people by their uniforms, police officers, firefighters, doctors. When you wore the beggar's coat, everywhere you went, people knew you're at a disadvantage. You're not quite up to par. In a sense, that coat gave you the right to feel sorry for yourself, the right to be depressed, the right to go around in self-pity. And when Bartimaeus heard Jesus say, come, the first thing he did, he threw off that beggar's coat. His attitude was, this is a new day. I'm done feeling sorry for myself. I'm done wearing the label that says disadvantage. I'm done begging. I'm about to be healed. I don't need this coat anymore. See, he changed his mindset. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. God's on the throne. He's bigger than this problem. He has beauty for these ashes. You see, he got rid of the excuses. Because as long as you justify where you are, making excuses as why you can't rise any higher. Let me tell you, if you make excuses why you're at a disadvantage, why you're bitter, you'll just get stuck there. I wonder how many of us are wearing that beggar's coat. Oh, Steve, I had a bad childhood. I got a good reason to be bitter. Somebody walked out of a relationship on me. I lost a loved one. I came down with an illness. That's why I'm negative. That's why I'm depressed. Listen, before you can get well, you got to take off that beggar's coat. Can I tell you, We all have a reason to feel sorry for ourselves. Let me tell you, everybody's been hurt. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody's had disappointments. Get rid of the excuses. It may not have been fair, but let me tell you, God is fair. He's a God of justice, and He would not have allowed it if it was going to keep you from your purpose. I'm all for being compassionate and kind, but I don't believe in giving people the right to feel sorry for themselves. Not because it wasn't fair, not because, you know, life didn't throw you a curve, but because it'll keep you from seeing the beauty for ashes. It'll keep you from being restored, from being healed, from being vindicated, from being promoted. Because let me tell you, God wants the enemy to pay. He wants to bring you out better. But you got to do your part. You got to take off the self-pity, take off the hurts, take off the disappointments of the past, because you can never reach your destiny while you're making excuses. As long as you're wearing the beggar's coat, giving yourself a reason to be bitter and be at a disadvantage and feel less than, that'll keep you from the new levels that God has in store. When Bartimaeus took off that coat, he wasn't just leaving his livelihood. He was leaving the negative things of the past. It was a symbolic gesture when he did that. He was leaving the dysfunction, leaving the bad breaks, and you've got to be willing to leave some things. If you're going to become everything God created you to be, you may need to leave bitterness, leave a bad attitude, leave compromise. When Jesus told Bartimaeus to come, how many of you know that he couldn't see? When Jesus said, Bartimaeus, come, he couldn't see, but he started walking toward Jesus based on what he heard. See, you may not see your healing yet, but you got to go by what you heard. By His stripes, I'm healed. You don't see increase yet. Business may be slow, but you got to go by what you heard. I will lend and not borrow. My God supplies all my needs. Blessings are overtaking me. Everything I put my hand to, it will prosper. Maybe your child's off course. No sign of them changing or improving. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My children will be mighty in the land. See, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Say, I live by faith. Say, my faith is not affected by what I see. See, Jesus asked when Bartimaeus came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Master, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. Your faith has healed you. See, God is saying to us what he said to Bartimaeus. Your faith's going to turn this around. Your faith's going to open the right doors. Your faith is going to bring unusual favor to you. The power of your faith is released by your words and by your actions. The word of faith is in your heart and in your mouth. You must speak out what you are believing for. And I tell you, when you do, it's going to happen sooner than what it looks. Keep on expecting it. Keep talking like it's going to happen. Go out every morning looking for God's goodness. Because let me tell you, He's passing by. But don't just brush up against Him. Be like that lady. Reach out and touch Jesus with your faith. If you'll do it, I believe, I declare, like Bartimaeus, your faith is going to make things happen that you could never make happen by yourself. I declare God's going to open supernatural doors. He's going to turn impossible situations around, and He's going to take you into the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. If you receive it today, give God a hand of praise. Give God thanks today. Amen. So what you get out of this today? What you get out of this today? The power of your faith. Your faith causes miracles. But how does faith work? You have to believe no matter how it looks, and you got to say what you're believing for. Like that woman, she kept saying, if I just touch His garment, I'll be healed. You've got to speak your faith. Don't ever, let me give you a secret. Don't ever say anything that you don't want to happen. Don't ever say anything that you don't want to happen. Speak that which you desire to see happen. Speak in faith. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Say, my faith, say, my faith's powerful. My faith caused miracles. My faith caused Jesus to stop in his tracks. Say, my faith releases God's supernatural power in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by. I had some folks on Wednesday night that came Wednesday night, and I preached three sermons in a row. We didn't do music. We didn't do announcements. I just preached three times. And afterwards, Tom said to me, Tom Cartwright said he bumped into someone the next day who was here. I said, man, what did he say to you? I am supercharged after last night. I am supercharged. Someone says, three sermons. Three sermons. Wow. I bet you watched three movies in a row, no problem. Not a half hour, right? Praise the Lord. Bow your heads for a moment. Father, I want to thank you for every person here today. I want to thank you, Lord, that your word has gone forth into each and every person's heart. I want to thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which you've purposed. I thank you that your word is changing our lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that our faith is rising to another level. Our faith is growing abundantly in Jesus' name. Listen, while you have your head bowed, while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray right now, before we close the service, I want to pray for every and any person here today or any person who's watching this online. Listen, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? But Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that. You can walk out of here. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. And there is a, let me tell you, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I want to pray right now for every person who's here, every person's watching this. If you say, Pastor Steve, won't you pray for me? I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you sit, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want you to slip your hand up right now. Lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. God bless you. Thank you. Just slip it up right now. If you're watching this online, wherever you may be, just put your hand up, because you know what? God sees. If you raised your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me, please. I want everyone to say this. The scripture tells us in Romans 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God, is by believing that Jesus died for your sin. He died on that cross. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead, and confessing and receiving him as Lord of your life. So I want you to say this prayer, everybody, if you raise your hand. In fact, everyone, just say this. Say, dear God, thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus to come to this earth to die on a cross for me. And you said in your word that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that Jesus is Lord of my life, you said I would be saved. I do this today. I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen, if you said that prayer, I want to congratulate you on the greatest decision you ever made in your life. You just got born again. You just become a child of God. Whatever mistakes you made in your past, they were just wiped away. And your name was written down in the book of life in heaven. Heaven is your eternal home. Amen. If you raise your hand, I want to ask you in a few minutes when we close the service, please just remain seated. We have a gift we want to give you before you leave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today.
I tell you what, that message, you know, I've figured this out about us. You know, I was talking to somebody on the phone this week, and we were talking about, you know, sometimes people want advice, and you talk around a subject and what have you. But when I put the phone down, and I thought about Hebrews 11, and I thought about that, and it said, by faith, this happened, by faith that happened, by faith this happened. And I said, you know what? It all comes down to your faith. You can change any circumstance with your faith, right? And if we don't know that, then we're at a disadvantage. So I love that. Praise God. Well, family, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Those that are watching online, there's a link to give. Those that are here, there's different ways. You've got envelopes in the seats in front of you. There are ways to give that will come up on the screen. You can give on our website. You can give on our app. Just like I said, that barcode's right in front of you. You can hover your phone over it, and it'll lead you there. It's a real simple way of giving. And we're so thankful for the tithers in our church. Amen. Honestly, as a church, that's what sustains the church. Those that week after week honor God with the first tenth of their income, I thank God for that. You know, even Jesus' earthly ministry was funded by the people who followed him. That's what the Bible says. And so Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, says the Lord. This is the house of God. He says, and try me now, or challenge me, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not even be room enough to receive it. So that we use that, and we have red envelopes that are for our regular tithes and offerings, and we thank you for being faithful. Well, as I said, we are just, Pastor Steve and I are just blessed when people put the house of God first, put God first with their tithes. But in December, we do something extra. There's a green envelope in your seat. It says Heart for the House Christmas Offering. We do a month-long giving campaign, as many places do. And Jesus said this in John 2, verse 17. He said, the disciples remembered his prophecy from the scriptures, passion for God's house will consume me. Do you know that Jesus had a passion for the house of God? That was his focus, was the house of God. And then David said this. He said in 1 Chronicles, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, in addition to all I have prepared for the holy house, I have a private treasure of gold and silver, which I will give to the house of my God. David gave because of his heart for the house, because of his passion for God's kingdom. Amen. So we have this month-long giving campaign, and if you'd use the green envelope. Also, if you want to give online, there is a place designated for Heart for the House. You can go ahead and do that. At the end of the year, we'll give you a record of your giving for tax purposes. And we're just asking that everyone just prayerfully, that you just think about this and ask the Lord what he wants you to do, but sow for eternal purposes. You know, I was saying that the word that has been in my heart is the word reach. Now, you know, 2020 has been a difficult year for a lot of people. It's been a different year. It's been different, right? Things have changed. And fortunately, thank God we never closed the church one Sunday. And I thank God for the faith of our pastor. He just was like, we're going to believe God and we're going to go forward. So we never closed one day. However, some things have changed. We still have members that are not back in church because for health reasons, they take care of elderly, whatever reason it is. But what we decided to do was started improving our online presence. And so, you know, a lot of things have shifted, but we've improved our equipment and what have you in having a better online presence. And then also with the opportunity came up to be on TV once a week. And Pastor Steve said, if I go on TV, I'm not going on a Christian channel. I want to be on a regular channel where people who are at home that are not in church can have church just appear in their room or their living room. And so we're talking about reaching. We're talking about reaching out to the community. And so we believe in God. That's what we want to do through this extra offering. We believe in God. Pastor Steve and I set our faith on $50,000 over and above what our regular income, because we know what this church can do and we know what we need to do. So if you want to join in with that, just believe God. And over the month of December, just go ahead and give towards Heart for the House. We would appreciate it. Amen. And then as you prepare yourself to give, just want to go over what we have on our Christmas calendar. Today you have a chance for a beautiful Christmas photo out in the lobby. Please take advantage of that. It's going to be wonderful. And then next Sunday we have our Around the World Christmas potluck lunch. And the people in this church can cook. They're so good at it. So people have gone and signed up for that. We're going to just bring your favorite dish from your culture, from your home, from, you know, just something that you really love, and share it with us. Go ahead and please sign up outside in the lobby. There's a thing. Just put down what you're going to be bringing and bring it with you. We'll be able to keep it warm for you. Hey, Muff Drums. I can hear you there. I liked his T-shirt last week. It says, "Drummers against everyone," right? So good. Anyway, so there's various things that are going to be happening. The following week, the 20th, we have a live nativity scene with the petting zoo, right? And we're going to be doing a couple of online things during this week. Go ahead and share your favorite throwback Christmas picture with us in church on Instagram, on Facebook. We'd love to see your old hairstyles and your pictures of you with your kids and what have you through this week. So
yeah, so great. These, when you came in today, you should have received one of our Christmas, this is an invite card.
Ushers, go ahead.
That's why we give it to you every week, because I'm asking you to use this card to invite people over the month of December, and it has a list of all the different events we have. Like today we have our photo op, like my wife mentioned. Next Sunday we're having our what is it? It's called a Christmas Around the World Potluck Lunch. That's next Sunday. And let me tell you what I'm going to do. I grew up in South Africa. I was born in Detroit. We moved to South Africa when I was 8, and I lived there for 27 years. And one of the things I loved about South Africa, we have a sausage called boerewors. This is our South Africans, boerewors. We call it boerewors.
Okay, come on. We're going to taste it, right?
Turn the microphone off, please. Turn that microphone off. So, boerewors. One more time. So, the direct translation is farm sausage. It's just the kind of sausage that I particularly love, and I have to buy it at the South African store down in Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to go get a whole bunch, and next Sunday, we're going to make for you some boerewors rolls. So it's a little sausage in a roll. It's a South African thing. We're going to have the grill out there. We're going to do that next Sunday. I'm going to ask you to bring something from your culture, a dish from your culture, and we're going to have tables set up, and everyone's going to put their food out. We're going to have a great time of fellowship and fun. So don't forget next week to bring that food with you. Amen? And don't forget to use this card to invite someone to come to church. Our Christmas Eve service is on Thursday, December 24th from 7 to 8. Hope you'll invite someone. I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders today. Everyone who served in God's house, why don't you give them a great round of applause? We appreciate them. Our children's workers and our greeters and our ushers and our media team, thank you for doing such a great job. We appreciate you. Amen. Stand up with me today. Will you do that? Father, I thank you today for the power that is in our faith, Lord. I thank you that our faith is what pleases you. Our faith is what releases your power and blessing in our life. And I thank you as we go out of here today, Lord, we go out of here with a greater faith than what we had before, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're going to go out giving God thanks and praise, aren't we? We're going to go out singing.
How great the power of the blood. Whoa.
Mistletoe is hung where you can see. Some